This is the Banner of Truth broadcast, a ministry of the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Our speaker is Pastor Hans Overdoon.
Dear radio friends, our text passage for this message is Mark 8, verse 27 to 33. And in this passage, we find Jesus both drawing out his title Christ for us, and then we see him so devoted to this title Christ for us. The Savior's personal name is Jesus, which means Savior. And his official name is Christ, which means the Anointed One. And in Old Testament terms, the Messiah. How important that we always remember, whenever you think of Jesus, that he is Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ. Beware of anyone and everyone who says they believe in Jesus, but won't acknowledge him as the Christ. The theme for this message is Jesus' devotion to his title, Christ. We see it in his instruction to his disciples about this title, Christ, and then his insistence on being true to this title, Christ. There's so much gospel in what you are about to hear. Our text passage tells us about a time when Jesus was alone with his disciples. He then asked them, "Whom do men say that I am?" The disciples mention that some say Jesus was John the Baptist, raised from the dead. Others Elijah, the great prophet of old, or simply one of the prophets. Here we learn the people in general were certainly saying and thinking Jesus was some special person. He was someone who spoke with authority, and he was someone unique. Today, too, lots of people think of some great things about Jesus, but when you are a true Christian, you don't just believe some great things about Jesus. No, then you believe something very specific about Jesus. What is that? Well, listen further. We are told Jesus then asked the disciples in verse 29, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Peter answers the question, "We may believe also on behalf of all the others," saying to Jesus, "Thou art the Christ." What a confession this was on Peter and the disciples' part. For the title Christ means the Anointed One, the Messiah. Peter was here confessing, "We believe, Jesus, that you are the Christ, that is the one God promised of old, and the one sent of God, and anointed and approved of God, and equipped by God to be the great deliverer of your people." In saying Jesus is the Christ, Peter and the disciples here were saying they believed Jesus was the one that all the Old Testament was foretelling would come, and that all the Old Testament foreshadowed. They were saying, now with Jesus at last, the full revelation of God had come, and now all the promises of God would be fulfilled, yes, in and through Christ Jesus. "Thou art the Christ," says Peter. What a confession this was and is, especially also when you think of the term Anointed One in the light of the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, prophets were anointed into their office, and priests were anointed, and kings. And now Jesus has come into the world as the anointed prophet, priest, and king for us. God has all his people know and believe and confess this about Jesus. He is the Christ. For all true knowledge of God, we are thus to look to him. For all true salvation from God, we are to call to him. And for all true guidance from God, we are to follow him and his word. Jesus being the Christ makes him to be the Savior of sinners, so reliable and rich and real. Do you realize this too, and glory in this fact as well? The Christian glories in the fact that Jesus is the Christ, seeing him truly as such and needing him so much as such, yes, as your chief prophet and only high priest and eternal king. Is that how you view him too? Oh, it is a fact that often we don't so glory in Christ Jesus as we might and should. We can be so blind to the true gospel concerning Jesus as the Christ. We see that also in our text passage with Peter. But notice with me now further how Jesus goes on to show, after his instruction about himself as the Christ, his insistence on truly being the Christ for people like us. In our text passage, Mark 8, 27 to 33, in at least three ways, we can see Jesus so devoted to this title, Christ. It would be good if you had your Bibles open to this passage so you can follow along here. Notice, for one, Jesus' insistence that they should tell no one about him as the Christ, as verse 30 states. This was actually strictly warned or charged by Jesus in devotion to the title Christ. Let me explain. You see, Jesus knew well that the people would not understand at that time what God meant with him come as the Christ. The people then, even God-fearing Jews, yes, the disciples too, they had such an earthly, carnal idea of Jesus being the Christ. They thought with him being the Christ, he would deliver them from the Romans and set up an earthly kingdom. And Jesus would be earthly ruler over all, and finally all his people triumphant and free with Jesus come as Messiah for them. Jesus knew if the people would follow and rally behind him as the Christ in this political sense at that point, then his real purpose for coming to this earth and his ultimate work as the Christ, as Savior from sin, would no longer have the preeminence. But it must have the preeminence, and so it is also that just before his crucifixion, it is Jesus himself who then lets the Jewish religious authorities and the masses of people know that indeed he is the Christ. Jesus testifies of this when on trial before Pilate in Matthew 26, verse 63 and 64. You see, it was Jesus' death on the cross that would finally so prove and display his messiahship. And following his death and resurrection, this is what all the world indeed needs to hear and know, that Jesus is the Christ. But right at that time, still with his disciples, before his crucifixion, with his slow-to-learn disciples and the masses too, this great truth needed yet to be kept secret somewhat, not because God would not already then have it known, but because people would so twist that truth and make it something other than God designed and that Jesus desired. Because of hearty devotion to the title Christ for us, Jesus would keep it under wraps for the time being, even as he began to unfold this great truth to his disciples. We see further Jesus' devotion to this title Christ in him immediately following this revelation of his true identity, that he then in verses 31 and following foretells how, quote, he must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Why does Jesus say this at this point? Because it is so intimately related to what it means that he is the Christ, as the chief prophet who would verify and fulfill all the scriptures and prove God's word so penetratingly and pricelessly true. Jesus as the Christ would have to give his life a ransom for many, as the anointed high priest in fulfillment of all the priesthood and sacrifices of the Old Testament. He would have to lay down his life for his sheep and shed his blood as the once-for-all sacrifice for sin and be the high priest who sits down forever at the right hand of God in the temple above. And as the anointed king, he would have to rule with perfect justice and holiness and mercy and love and compassion and give all-wise, all-powerful, everlasting guidance and rule and protection over his sheep. But this would mean that he would have to conquer sin, Satan, death and hell once for all his people, as the reigning, ruling King of Kings. So, in devotion to the title Christ, Jesus refers to his coming suffering and death now, emphasizing this as an absolute necessity for him as Jesus the Christ. You shouldn't miss what verse 32 says here. And he spake this saying, or that saying, openly, we are told. And in the original, the text suggests, or the Greek verb says, Jesus kept on saying this openly, boldly, and unreservedly, you might say. So while the title Christ was to be kept in the background still, the work of Christ, the Savior in all three offices, Jesus would so emphasize and bring out, especially the climax of it all, his suffering and death on the cross in the place of sinners, and his resurrection from the dead 3 days later. Oh, shall we not pause and marvel at Jesus' devotion here to his title, Christ? Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, took his name and title so seriously. He would live up to it no matter what. Jesus knew only if he would truly be the Christ could anyone be truly saved. Should we not so thank the Savior, Jesus Christ, for his insistence on being the Christ, his devotion to be the anointed, faithful Savior of sinners no matter what? Yes, even when his closest companions would deter him from being the Christ in the real and only way he had to be, and that we so need him to be. Here I come also to the third way that Jesus showed his devotion to the title Christ. We are told in verse 32, when Jesus speaks of his suffering and death, Peter takes Jesus aside, and he starts to rebuke him. In other words, Peter tells Jesus off, and he calls him not to speak so about his sufferings and death, for that, according to Peter, must not and cannot happen to Jesus the Messiah. Ah, but Peter, do you know what you are saying? Obviously, he didn't grasp the truth about Jesus being the Christ, not in the least even. How many people today, perhaps church people too, don't mind that Jesus, who is the Christ in some political or some social sense, but we need Jesus, who is the Christ in a salvation sense. Man repeatedly forgets and undermines that our greatest problem and the root of all our miseries is our sins and sinfulness. But more than anything else, always we need, and we are in need of, an almighty, God-anointed, God-approved, God-equipped Savior from our sins. And Jesus Christ alone is that great and glorious, most gracious, anointed Savior for us. See him here, then, in his devotion to his title, Christ, and all that it truly means. For what does the text tell us when Jesus Christ speaks of the suffering and death to come, and Peter then rebukes him for it and would stop him from so speaking? Then Jesus responds very emphatically and pointedly, and we see him solemnly address Peter, saying, as Mark 8:33 records, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." Oh, what strong language Jesus uses here, calling his dear disciple Peter Satan in this case. Why did Jesus do so? Because Satan was behind this word of Peter, Jesus knew. Satan didn't want Jesus to fulfill his calling as the Christ. And the devil would use even Jesus' closest disciples to try to tempt and dissuade Jesus from so fulfilling his God-given role as the Messiah. Oh, the sly, wicked serpent. Jesus saw him slithering near, in and through the words of Peter here, and Jesus strongly reacted against it, not willing for a second to entertain anything but God's will for him as the Christ. And what he knew was so absolutely necessary for our salvation through him as the Christ. When we think of people, naturally we don't see the root problem that we have, and we skip over it as if it is nothing so serious. But we need Jesus to be the Christ on the cross for sin and raised from the dead again as the Christ. Shall anyone be actually saved and find truth and be redeemed and be ruled triumphantly in this life and forevermore? Thank God Jesus came as the Christ, and the Christ he would be for people like us, foolish, sinful, and blind by nature. Do you own Jesus as the Christ? Do you value him as the Christ? The Christian glories in the fact that Jesus is the Christ. And our text passage, seeing Jesus draw out his title concerning himself for us, and being so devoted to this title concerning himself for us, how it gives reason to glory in Jesus being the Christ indeed. Does this same conviction and testimony ring in your heart too, seeing the scriptures before us and its proclamation of Jesus as the Christ? Amen.
If you would like a free printed copy of this message for yourself or a friend, write to Banner of Truth Broadcast, 9698 Epp Drive, Chilliwack, British Columbia, Canada. The postal code is V2P6N6. That's V2P6N6. For more information about the Free Reformed Churches of North America, you can go to frcna.org. Again, frcna.org on the internet. Thanks for listening. Tune in again next week at the same time for the Banner of Truth radio broadcast.